The Man in the Iron Mask.
After the quarrel which has flared up between Maria Theresa and Louis on their betrothal night, Maria locks herself in her rooms. Louis, still pining after the cardinal's niece, decides that he will once again visit her, perhaps for the last time, since soon she is to enter the church. So he persuades his brother Edmund to take his place, telling him to keep to his rooms while he is away. He has a good excuse, since this is the nuptial week and matters of state have been deferred. Edmund asks about Maria, the wife, but Louis tells him of the quarrel and points to the doors between the two apartments, which Maria has locked from the other side. So Louis and his confidant Letellier go off into the country, leaving Edmund in the apartment. Edmund, who would be most perturbed if he could hear the conversation which is progressing in the Queen's suite. For Louis's mother, the former queen, has gone to Maria to advise her. She has heard of the rift.
Yes, my dear. We are of a pattern, you and I. Both have been marriages of state.
I did my duty to Spain.
And I did my duty to Austria. In such marriages, there is no love. But sometimes, if you do what you can to further understanding, love comes.
I don't think it will ever come to me.
I think otherwise. On the day of the Spanish wedding in the chapel, I watched you both closely. You seemed so happy, radiant, like a bride at a wedding of her own choosing. It made me happy, too, for I felt then that you and Louis would really be a perfect match. Then word came to me that on the nuptial night of the public wedding...
Oh, Your Majesty, he was horrible, horrible. His eyes were bloodshot with wine. His speech was thick. And when the door was closed, when we were left alone together, he yelled at me, he shouted. He was more like animal than man. Forgive me, Your Majesty, for saying this.
I know. I have seen my son in his cups. I know him only too well. But if you can be patient with him, be understanding, I think he will forget about his drinking.
You do, truly?
Yes, my child. So tonight, when he is alone in his apartment, go through that door. Go to him, talk with him quietly. Make him understand that you want to be a wife to him. A real wife, not a political convenience which binds two countries together. You're both young, intelligent. Between you could make this reign in France the greatest in the whole of history.
Oh, Your Majesty, I am glad you came to me. I have been so bewildered, not knowing what to do. For one crazy moment, I thought I might run away.
Back to Spain?
Yes. And then I realized what that would mean. Perhaps war between the two countries. The loss of hundreds of lives. Maybe subjection for my own country. But now that you have talked with me, perhaps if I went to him now...
No. Wait until late tonight, when he has no one with him. My son's life in the daytime is a series of constant interruptions. Envoys, ambassadors, ministers. His life is not a private one in daylight. But at night. Late at night.
What if he is in his cup?
There is no banquet tonight.
You are right when you say that I was happy when we were married in the chapel. I really loved your son then. For I could see nothing but good in him. It seemed to be later that he changed.
Then look for that good tonight. And now I must go. Keep my visit confidential. Goodbye, my daughter.
This weary journey, Letellier. Dust and more dust and yet more dust. It gets in your eyes and your throat, seeps through your clothes.
And yet the windows are shut, Your Majesty.
I know. And still it seeps through. How much longer before we reach the place?
Only another hour, Your Majesty.
Then I shall see my lovely one. Perhaps for the last time. You know, Letellia, even at this last moment, I feel that there might be hope for us.
There is no hope, Your Majesty. You are married to the Infanta.
And yet the Cardinal's niece loves me, and I love her.
Perhaps if you were thinking of an alliance of that kind, it would be wise to forget it, Your Majesty. In the first place, knowing the Cardinal's niece, she is a good and devoutedly religious woman. She would not countenance it. And as for the Cardinal, why, Your Majesty, his fury might wreck your kingdom.
Yes, if it weren't for the Cardinal, I might be married to her. In his heart of hearts, he must hate me, our Cardinal Mazarin.
Oh, hardly, Your Majesty. He has steered France for you and for your father through many dangerous times.
Yes, I know he is the brains of France. One may as well face facts. If it weren't for that, I would openly defy him. I would have my way. Oh, the crafty little girl. Perhaps in his mind he wanted this alliance with Spain a long, long time ago. Even before he mentioned it to me. Perhaps he spirited his niece away so that nothing would prevent his political plan.
Perhaps. And after all, Your Majesty, you have the safety of France to consider. For the safety of France is the safety of your throat.
True, true, Lieutenant. Oh, see. Lights ahead. Oh, those must be from that tavern at the crossroads. We'll stop for a while, Letellia. I feel weary tonight. We'll stop there and wash some of the dust from our throats. Give the orders to the coachman.
Come in.
Your Majesty, may we leave the litter to prepare you for your bed?
I'm already prepared, as you can see.
Why, Your Majesty, you've had no assistance.
Assistance? Is it such an arduous task to change from doublet and hose into night attire?
But, Your Majesty, unaided, unassisted...
You can tell the others that I want no more assistance tonight.
Yes, Your Majesty. Tomorrow morning, shall we call you at 11 or later?
I think I'll be up and about before 11, but you may call me.
Thank you, Your Majesty. May I wish Your Most Gracious Majesty a long and peaceful night of sleep?
Thank you. Good night.
Good night, Your Majesty.
All day long they come. Ones and twos and fours and sixes. To dress him, to feed him, to flatter him. What a life for my brother Louis. Midnight. Oh, it's a glorious night through these windows. Perhaps if I snuff the candles first, and then look out and find Astar. Oh, if only we were together, my Marguerite and I. Where is she now, I wonder? What is she doing? Does she remember about the star? Yeah, it's the last of the candles. Where is it? Oh, yes. The brightest star in all the heavens. You look down on me. You look down on her. The loveliest creature in this world. What does she say to you? What message for me?
I'm waiting for you, Edmund. I shall wait for you always.
Oh, darling, I can almost hear your voice. That lovely voice. And your face, I can see it in the mist in the heavens. I love you, Marguerite. And one day we shall be together. The king has promised.
I love you, Edmund. And I'm waiting.
It won't be long before the king is back. But then I shall come for you, Marguerite. I shall take you to this island, where we shall live together for the rest of our lives. Good night, my sweet darling. How can't I conjure up your voice again? In the gentle breeze out there, in the scent of the roses, and the whisper of a fountain far down the garden. Good night, sweet darling.
Good night, my heart.
I'm happy now. I can lie on my bed and sleep in peace. As the chamberlain said, a long and peaceful night.
Louis?
What?
Louis?
Who's that?
Don't be alarmed. It is I, Maria.
Maria? Maria Teresa?
Yes, Louis. I have come to ask you to forget our terrible quarrel.
Here is the most awkward predicament in which Edmund has yet been placed. His romantic dreams of Marguerite have been rudely interrupted as he strains his eyes in the semi-darkness and sees in silhouette the softly rounded figure of Maria Theresa, who believes him to be her husband. Make sure you hear the next enthralling chapter of The Man in the Iron Mask.